Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Here at Podcast One, we love hearing from you. We read every tweet and comment you send our way. So don't miss your chance to take our summer listener survey. Just go to podcastone.com and click on the survey banner. Or go to podcastone.com/my survey. It only takes a few minutes, and it gives you the opportunity to make a direct impact on your favorite shows. Tell us how you really feel so we can get to know you better. We value your thoughts and participation. So check out the survey at podcastone.com/my survey. Or click on the survey banner on podcastone.com.
Racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banshaw, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey guys, welcome to Shift and Steer. I'm Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, and we are in Corolla Studio today. And we have our lovely guest, Courtney Hansen.
Hey Matt, it's so good to be back.
We have Aaron Hagar on the phone. Hey Aaron.
No.
Oh, see, now you're just messing with us.
Hi, Aaron.
Hello, Courtney.
There's that laugh I love. You have like the best laugh ever.
Good. So Brad's going to be missing in action this week, but you know, every time we can replace Brad with Courtney, I'm okay with that. So sorry, Brad.
Well, I'm happy to be back here.
Well, Courtney, I appreciate the comment, but doesn't Pee Wee Herman have the best laugh?
No, not at all. Yours is way better.
That's
in a different league.
That's SpongeBob. He's got a
no.
there, right?
I'm going with Aaron.
Oh, well, thank you kindly.
So,
it's contagious.
Guys, there's so much going on. First of all, I'm glad you're here because I know you spend half the year in LA and like half the year in Naples, where your house kind of really is. And there was a little trouble in Naples. Apparently it rained.
Yeah, it rained a lot.
Apparently it rained a lot.
Like the eye of Hurricane Irma went right over our house and did some damage. But everyone's safe. That's the most important thing. But yeah, our house suffered a lot of damage. And actually the whole city of Naples did, and Bonita Springs and Fort Myers. It was pretty bad, much worse than the news is conveying. And so, but again, at least everybody's okay. And it was a lot worse in the Keys and the islands and Houston, and well, that was the other hurricane. But
the news has a weird thing. It's like all they care about is damage to people, not just property damage. And luckily, this has had a little bit more of, I guess, after taxes, people paid a little more attention to evacuation rules.
Yeah.
Like you should go. You should take the kids and go to Disney World or whatever. You know, at least get a little further out of town,
North,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, just a little further out of town. And so I was there for Hurricane Andrew, which hit South Florida in like, I think it was like 92.
Yep.
And it hit hard. It hit like a Category 5.
I was there for that.
Yeah.
And so we had to go inland, and we were at a house that was kind of like a bunker in Northeast Naples. But that was scary, and it did a ton of
damage. It was pretty scary. It was a lot of damage, and like nobody knew what to expect, so nobody really left town. And I was there. I was there working at a hurricane shelter at
the
time. Yeah.
Where were you?
I was in Coral Springs. It was down the Fort Lauderdale area, and
working at a shelter.
Yeah, so I was part of the Civil Air Patrol and the ROTC programs, and our high school, which was a big cement rectangle, doubled as a hurricane shelter. So myself and all the other Civil Air Patrol kids, all the young cadets, ran the hurricane shelter. which we turned our high school into a hurricane shelter.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was a really
you're a hero.
It was a big event. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun, kind of just like getting through that, because by the time we just sort of finally settled in and made everyone comfortable, it was over.
Yeah.
And everyone was leaving, and they're all like giving you a hug goodbye, like, thank you so much. And it was just like just hundreds of people just sleeping like on the floors of the high school and all this stuff. And we did what we could to like make it comfortable. We took the gym and we opened it up and let people play basketball. And we took the student council room and put the kids in there because it was the only one with a big screen TV. And Red Cross came and set up a sort of a medical area.
And Aaron's laughing.
Yeah. And Aaron's like, that sounds fantastic. It sounds like a wonderful day.
Because I keep picturing Matt in like a clown suit, like playing with kids, you know?
Yeah.
I got a wild imagination, folks. You know that by now. So that's a weird thing too, because those hurricanes blew through pretty quick, didn't they? But this last one, I guess, was going really slow.
Yeah,
like,
it was going
really
7 miles per hour. Yeah,
and it did climb up the coast. It did climb up the coast quite a bit. So, you know, by the way, like if you read in the car world, we read all of these stories like in Texas where there's, you know, people were putting their cars up on jacks trying to get them 12, 18 inches off the ground. And then they realize it's 36 inches of water. So, like, what do you do? And I'm trying to think of, like, ways to seal the car at some point, like tape off the exhaust pipe, right? And then maybe try to tape off your door jams a little bit more. And I don't know how you watertight, let's say, you know, your new car is going to be easier than your 65 Mustang that you're trying to make watertight, right? Because water just come up through the floorboards to the transmission holes. And
people lost their cars in Naples, their classic cars.
Yeah.
And I'm sure all those people did their best to secure them. But at the end of the day, if you have water flood damage and you can't get them high enough, you're...
So you guys have a place there. You have a house there. It's kind of on the water. Mm-hmm. But... It's but the way it's built, it's kind of higher up a little bit. Yeah. Like it's up on.
It is on the water like at the end of a point, so you have like the bay on one side and the beach on the other.
Yeah,
and so it's literally the worst place you can be when there's a hurricane. We had a mandatory evacuation, and luckily it's up a little bit on a hill, and so we probably had like 10 feet of give, maybe.
Yeah,
but we had broken windows and our roof and tons of roof damage. So it was pouring rain into the house. Still is actually.
That sucks.
And
yeah, that's right. It still is.
And the roofers can't access the house because the street is blocked by trees, and so it's challenging. So like Jay was up on the roof, like putting tarps over the and doing whatever he could to.
Which is great, but that's not going to stop the next hurricane.
Exactly.
That's right behind.
And isn't Jose like
you should stay in LA for a little while longer, right? You
that's
should
the just only stay silver out. Lining is that I get to stay out here long.
Yeah.
What was the water surge like there?
It was not as bad as expected. It was supposed to be like 10 to 15 feet, and it was only 3.
Right.
So it was not bad.
Oh, yeah,
but a lot of downed trees and some damage, like you said, just broke windows.
All kinds of downed trees.
Yeah, but still devastating. But when you think of like 15 feet, I mean, people have to realize 15 feet. I mean, you're talking like the underside of a bridge, you know, like an overpass bridge, right? That's like 15 feet, 18 feet. I mean, that's a lot of water coming at you.
That's a lot of water.
Yeah. Absolutely horrifying.
And the force of it.
It doesn't take much. Like if your garage or your house or something is located in an area that's just even on a slight incline or decline, you know, all the water can just flood in there. So, you know, those of you that listen, of course, follow us on social media. Go to our Facebook page at ShiftSteer Media and let us know what if you were there and you've had damage or whatever, show us. Let us know. Give us some pictures. Yeah. We want to see what's going on. If there's anything we can do to help you, please let us know.
I've got pictures.
And I know you do. By the way, and if you were at Andrew back in the day or you're in Texas and you have damage, send us some of those photos and or post some of it to our Facebook page or tag us on social media so we can take a look at it. And let's have another discussion. Maybe we can get a couple of you guys on the phone in the next week or two to hear about what you have done or what damage is done and what you're going to do to sort of get through it. So let's make a plan for that, Aaron. Let's get a couple phone calls or something from some people, or we'll reach out to some people or read some emails or messages on the show so we can find out what's going on, and we'll post some of those pictures as well. Because we want to hear what you guys are going through.
Yeah, and I mean, I personally don't have much perspective on this. I haven't really experienced anything like that, and I've always lived in the mountains primarily.
Earthquakes, so you have, like, right?
Yeah, but you know, the worst earthquake I remember ever experiencing was actually in the house. I'm at my dad's house right now, house sitting. And I remember going down the hallway at his house and being thrown from side to side because we had a very narrow a hallway, and there was like those old-fashioned accordion blinds on both sides covering closets. And so they're real kind of bouncy anyway. And I remember being tossed between them. Like, I couldn't get down the hallway, you know. And this is a concrete house. He lives in this very strange concrete house he bought in 1975, 76.
It's like top of a hill. Like it's like oddly at the top of a hill, right?
It's at the top of a mountain, yeah. And it's literally 72 glass windows sandwiched between two concrete slabs almost.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you're talking like it's as secure as it gets. And yet that was the only big earthquake. I mean, we act like earthquakes are no big deal here, you know, and us Cali folks, right?
Yeah.
Except that, you know, unfortunately, we did have a couple catastrophic ones, but for the most part, you know, we get them pretty regularly, and it's just like, hey, oh, it's over.
The big one's coming.
You know?
Unfortunately, your dad's house is where we're going to go and hide out during the zombie apocalypse, because I feel like it's at the top of a mountain and it's concrete and we could just board up some windows and we could, you know, it's big.
It's got its own electricity.
You could live in the garage. Like, there's enough in there. You could just live in the garage, I think.
If we can get there, we just need to get there.
Actually, the garage is pretty small. The house is actually small. It's not some gargantuan, you know, estate like you would think, you know, based on his you know,
I don't need a lot of room. I'm little and I can sleep in a LaFerrari.
Yeah, I would think he would have a ton of cars in that garage. No,
he's got a separate warehouse where the studio is, and that's almost at sea level. But no, everything up there, this has been the family home. I think he took his first solo record deal and bought this house, and he's had it, you know, since I was 6 years old, and it's been the family compound. So he's kind of stretched it as much as the girth will allow, but it's a pretty, I don't want to say it's a modest house. It's not a huge house, but it's far from modest. But yeah, it looks like a bomb shelter, except those 72 glass windows around the belly line.
Wow.
So I don't know how well it would sustain any kind of assault.
What I'm afraid of right now is all of these big storms and all the damage it has done. I feel like it's shaking the earth, and now it's going to irritate California.
Yeah.
And California is going to start shaking.
Although California has good karma, though. That's the only thing I'm going on.
Let's not jinx it now. Let's not jinx it now.
Because
people, you know, like people say, well, how could you live there? There's earthquakes. I'm like, well, I don't want to live in Florida. Now I don't want to live in Texas. And then.
And in Minnesota, there's tornadoes.
There's tornadoes. It's just like,
everybody has natural disasters.
Somebody's really pissed off at us right now, and they're just throwing everything they can. They're just literally washing. This country,
Mother Nature is pissed.
Is giving us a scrubbing. Anyway, so
the filth away.
So let's get into some more car stuff. So, Courtney,
yes,
how are you?
I'm great. I'm better now that I know that my family and loved ones are safe in Florida. So,
yes,
and
that's good.
My heart breaks for the people in the Keys and the islands, but. We'll get through it.
But look, things are still happening. We've got events coming up. You're going to be on the road at a few events.
Yeah.
We've got a SEMA show coming up. Where are you going to go first?
Okay, so first is this weekend I'm going to the last IndyCar race of the season. My dear friend Chip Ganassi is the team owner for Scott Dixon, and Scott is second in points right now, just a few points behind Newgarden. So it's looking like he could pull off another championship, so we're going to support.
Okay. So, well, by the time you're hearing this on like a Tuesday, you would have missed the race. So this is, we're recording, it's after the race, but knowing we're in here a few days early, you're on your way to Indy.
Yes.
Like wheels up in 12 hours.
Yep, exactly. And so we're cheering for Scott. We're cheering for Team Ganassi, and I think he's going to do it again. This will be his fifth, I think, championship.
Okay, what's the points lineup right now? We have Pagenaud is in fourth, right? Well, Will Power and Simon Pagenaud. Pagenaud was a guest on CarCast about a year ago, by the way.
Very
nice guy. He came in. He was great. He has a funny accent.
And Will Power, of course. He's up there.
So Will Power is in fifth right now. Simon Pagenaud was in fourth. Helio Castroneves is in third. Is he the Dancing with the Stars guy as well?
He was on Dancing with the Stars. He's super charismatic.
Carollo is on Dancing with the Stars. He rode his unicycle.
How did he do?
He did not win. He's not the best dancer. He's a great unicycler.
Entertainer.
But, yeah, like, but unicycle rider, I think. And
Unicyclist?
Unicyclist. That's right. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Caitlin's seen it. I'm sure it's on the YouTube somewhere. Scott Dixon is your boy. He's in number two.
And he's just
and,
a few, three
Joseph
points.
Newgarden is in first, but they're so close.
They're so close.
They're 3 points away.
They're so close. And Scott
wow.
is just, he's he will have pulled this off by
okay,
the time
so, but,
you guys hear this.
But being so close in points, one has to beat the other, right? But it
yes.
doesn't matter if they're in first or second, because how many points does Helio Castroneves gets if he's first and Dixon is second? Do you think Dixon still wins the points, but not the race?
Well, it's whoever wins the overall points.
Yeah.
So it's different from NASCAR. Where
I just don't know how many points you get by winning the race on this weekend, you know, because I don't follow Indy that much, you know? I guess it's a question for the hardcore Indy fans. I apologize. I don't follow it that much, but...
Yeah, that's a good question. Where does he have to be in...
Does he have to win the race?
Podium win?
And?
Yeah.
And... does he have to win the race to win the points, or does he have to come in second to win the points? I don't really know. I feel like this math is too complicated for Kaylin to figure out.
Yeah, we just have to figure out the
points. We don't know the points. And by the way, Kaylin in the studio here is producing.
Come on, Kaylin.
Hello, guys.
By the way, number nine on the list, Tony Kanaan. I love Tony.
I love him too.
I love
he's
Tony.
So awesome. I love seeing him win the 500.
He's got so much energy. He's so charismatic. He came in here and did a show with us. He's fantastic, by the way. I think he's a Miami guy.
Is he
right?
a Miami guy?
I think
don't
he's
know.
A Miami yeah. guy. Yeah.
He's awesome. And he's driving for Ganassi. He drives for Ganassi.
Is he?
Yeah. Yep.
I thought he had a ride with Andretti.
I know for the 500.
So Takuma.
Look it up.
Takuma, who won the Indy 500, right? He's in eighth place right now, and I don't know if he's staying with Andretti for next year or if he's switching to another team, but that's a great conversation to have. So I think we're going to have him come in at some point, again, probably on CarCast. We're going to see if we can do some crossover with Shift and Steer as well, because I just spoke to the people at Indy, and we're going to have Takuma come in. We're going to have Graham Rahal come in and probably bring his dad, Bobby Rahal.
Tony Kanaan drives for Chip Ganassi Racing.
He does.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was cool to see Sato win the 500. That was awesome.
Yeah, he was super pumped,
yeah.
right? He was, like, a little shocked. He was like, what
such
happened?
Such a nice guy.
Yeah, he seems
great driver,
like
nice guy.
And I haven't had a chance to meet him in person yet, but that's why we're excited about getting him into the studio at some
yeah.
point. Hopefully we get him on a phone. And,
very cool.
And have him call into one of the shows. So Scott Dixon, you think is going to do it?
Oh, yeah. I think he's absolutely going to do it. And I believe that based on the points, it's between the top two. So it's either Newgarden or Dixon who will pull it off, because I think Elio's enough behind that even if he won the race, he would still not win the...
Like
the
if season. Dixon was in second and Helio won the race, Dixon would probably still have enough to get the points?
Yes.
You think?
That's
okay.
That's my understanding after talking with friends in the circuit.
It's going to be exciting. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
Wait, where's the race?
It's Sonoma.
It's in Sonoma.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
is this the
is
last?
Why I don't watch racing. It's so confusing. I lost you guys. I thought you were talking about Larry Dixon. So, you know, I was way off.
No.
That's NHRA.
No, that's NHRA. We can talk about drag racing as well. But...
And NASCAR and NHRA are a lot easier to figure out.
Yeah. Okay. So on the topic of racing, let's talk about Danica Patrick. Because, you know, we're in the studio now, and just yesterday the news came out, or the announcement came out saying that that Stuart Haas Racing is not renewing Danica's Patrick for next year. So she will not be on that team.
It was a sponsor situation. So it was Nature's Bakery was her last sponsor. And apparently they pulled out.
Her last race, the sponsor on her car was her company, was her athletic wear company, right?
Okay.
I think the last race she did, she put her own brand on there just to get the car out there and do one more. And probably in an effort to attract more sponsorship. So...
Well, and she's kind of taking things in a new direction. I don't know that she's so bummed about this because I feel like she's ready kind of for a new beginning. And, you know, she's 35 years old.
She's old.
With Stenhouse Jr. No, but for having children. Like, I believe she and Stenhouse Jr. want to settle down. I imagine
right.
they want to have children.
She got engaged.
Is she engaged this past year?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this last year.
Well, I know they're in it for the long haul. And
they've been together since like 2012.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty sure he proposed like this past year.
Okay. Yeah.
Right? I'd have to go through social media or something to figure that out. But,
yeah, maybe so. But I imagine she wants to have children. And now's about the time that you would do that. And she wrote a book. It's called Pretty.
Yeah, I forgot the name of it.
Oh, gosh. What's it called?
She already said that she's going to be working on a second book.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so.
And she's a fitness.
She got engaged on April Fool's Day, by the way, which is odd, but yes. Yes, it happened.
Awkward.
I'm sure it's because they have a great sense of humor. She has a giant ring if you're into that kind of thing. Most of the dudes listening to the show don't care. So you're right. So she got engaged, right? And she's got a book. And
the book is called Pretty Intense.
Okay. Nice.
And
she's got like a yoga DVD or a health DVD or a program or an online thing.
She can do some serious moves. Like, her body's insane.
Yeah. Like, if you've been following her social media the past year, she's cut. Like,
she's
ripped.
She's
ripped. She's super buff.
Super muscular, super lean.
I see the sponsor conflict right now. She's got a health line, right? You said a sportswear line or something.
Yeah.
And she's also sponsored by a bakery. There's the conflict right there.
So there you go.
That's
yeah.
True.
Yeah.
Right there.
Kind of interesting juxtaposition.
Danica and Aaron are not on the same workout schedule.
No, my wife is though.
That's
wife
right. Misha is. Yeah.
Yeah. Misha's all about it. I say their explanations, not excuses, but, you know.
I gotcha.
Tomato, tomato. Yeah. I've been thin, and I've been fat, so I'm kind of in between right now, and I'm okay with that.
Okay. So she's got a lot going on, but you think she still wants to race. She wants to get a ride for next year.
I read a quote yesterday where she said something like, you know what, if I'm not winning, it's not fun, and so I don't want to do it. And
she said she doesn't, she doesn't want to, like, for lack of a better term, she doesn't want to cultivate a new team. She wants to step into a team that's already seasoned so she can go out from the gate running
with a great
again.
Car
right.
And a great team.
And not really like...
That makes sense.
Yeah, I don't think she's into like, hey, let's start a new business, let's get a team together, let's hire the right people, let's go out and do it. Like, I don't think she wants to run that business. I think you're right, she has other things going on, which is fine, but being a driver for hire is not out of the question.
Yes, but I think being, she was with a top team in IndyCar and then a top team, at the very, very top in NASCAR. So she doesn't want to go down from there.
Right.
And it's my understanding that if she's not going to win, she doesn't want to be there. And she just wants to pursue these other opportunities, and she has no shortage of them. And so this is kind of like a new chapter
in
her book.
I think she's great. I think she's paved a way for females in racing.
Totally.
I think she's done a lot.
Amazing.
But if you want to get down to brass tacks, is she good enough?
She's not winning races. She had one pole at the Daytona 500, but that was it in her entire NASCAR career. No wins at all. I think only a handful of top 10 finishes. And so, is this novelty, and it's amazing. I have the utmost respect for her. I mean, she's out there. She's a badass among all those men, and it's incredible. But if you're not winning and if you're not performing, I think the sponsors start to look bad and the team owners start to look bad. And so maybe it was just time to
the page. My look on it is the field right now is very competitive. Okay. As much as I follow NASCAR and it's limited, but it's very competitive. She is very marketable. She's very marketable.
Very.
Right? She can go out there, she can speak well, she can present well.
She looks great.
She looks great. She's very smart, she's very successful. However, to back someone like her is not inexpensive. And if you're going to spend that kind of money, you want a top 5, top 10 racer. Yeah. You don't want a top 20 racer.
I think top 10 in NASCAR. You're getting a lot of exposure and
right.
you're probably
at least
the
top 10
polls.
Is going to get a couple of polls, maybe a win or two.
Yep.
But a top 20 racer
is tough
for the kind of money that is required to get a Danica Patrick.
Like even Matt Kenseth, I read yesterday, and Kurt
Busch.
Doesn't
have a ride, right?
They don't, and Kurt Busch. Right. And Kurt, they're two of the best out there. And
he's
a champion.
Kenseth's the champion, right?
Kenseth is the champion. And Kurt has come so close a couple of years in a row. And
but
so,
this is the politics of racing. And I believe me, I'm sure there's guys listening, people that are listening that know way more about this than I do. But Aaron, you mentioned Larry Dixon, our friend Larry, who's NHRA, right? What does Larry have? Three rings. And he struggles every year to try to get a ride.
Three rings and no ride this year.
It's so competitive.
And no ride. Because they put it on his shoulders to bring the money in. So, but by the way, as a team owner, how is that not a sweet gig where you're like, hey, man, if you want a ride, you bring me money and yourself and you give me all that money. And, you know, like you bring me $250,000 sponsorship, I'll pay you $80,000 to drive the car.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's...
Well, it's pay to play racing. I mean, that's the Ferrari challenge, Lamborghini challenge. That's all that type of racing. I mean, how is that in NHRA or any of those other rides? That when we had that conversation with Larry, that was one thing I really didn't understand was the business side of that. I'm going, that's ridiculous, man. It's like, you know, you get the top players in your field to play for you. You solicit them. You offer them. You know, and it's like to pay to play in that situation, how he lost his ride was asinine. I mean, it was like, I'm going, are you kidding me?
A few years ago.
It's unbelievable,
I had the same conversation with Melanie Troxell, another friend of ours, right? Melanie did a lot for drag racing, being the fastest woman out there and setting records and the only woman to race, like to win in pro stock funny car and Top Fuel. Like she did a lot in that space as well, and then struggled to get a ride. And she's run the business side. She's been the general manager of the team, and she's done the hospitality, she's done the driving, she's hired all the people. Like she actually did put the team together and run it all, you know, with another team, but did all of that. And it's so much work.
It's so much work, and it's so competitive.
It's super competitive.
And I feel like now all these sponsors just want everything handed to them. And so you have to go out there and fight for yourself and fight for your place.
I think a lot of the issues with NHRA was I think they took a little bit of the showmanship out of it, you know, and I think that they were a little blind to how much technology and things have moved things forward. The use of social media and GoPro cameras and things like that. Their TV contracts and things like that were so strict, where the drivers couldn't do much and they couldn't run their own GoPro cameras and they couldn't start YouTube channels and do that. Like, and then the world of drag racing got so competitive, it took the showmanship out of it. Like, you know, it's the burnouts are short because they don't want to burn clutches because that costs too much money and stuff. But like, hey, if you go to the nostalgic drags and you got Chi-Town Hustler doing a burnout like 1,000 feet and then backing up.
The NASCAR burnouts. Those are cool. And by the way, I meant the team owners, I think, want everything handed to them, not the sponsors. I said the wrong thing. But I think the team owners just want it to be handed to them. Like, here's the sponsor and here's the money and whatever.
Yeah.
And do the sponsors even have...
It's business now.
Yeah. But yeah. It's just different than it used to be. And
we like exhibitionists. Okay, we like exhibitionists. We need more exhibitionists.
Yeah.
Exhibitionists. Racing, you know?
It's happening right here in the studio. Oh, thanks, Corey.
Is this being filmed?
Something else,
it's warm in here. You don't need to wear that.
And how did the sponsors know the ROI? Like, how was the ROI even determined in these deals?
Yeah, so much of it used to be branding, but now it's way different because you got to keep in mind that, like, if you're a sponsor and I don't even know really who's sponsoring some of these rides these days, but if you're an Xbox, you're Forza Motorsport, right? You also, and it's, let's say you give Larry Dixon $250,000 at NHRA. He puts together a team, or he buys himself a seat, and you know he gets paid. I don't know, $100,000 to drive. I don't know what they get paid. He gets paid $100,000 to drive. There's $150,000 that goes to the team, and then that's it. Well, that's not it. Now Forza Motorsport's like, well, now I have to activate, and I need to promote the fact that I'm in NHRA, and I need to do this and this and this. You know, and
a full time job. Remember Larry was saying he got like 3 weeks off a year. Yeah. Because as soon as the season ended, he was right back to work.
It's
man, I only get like a week, 2 weeks, and I'm right back to work. And I think that's about a fifth of what it takes to get a seat.
Right, but the activation I'm talking about is like, what's Forza Motorsport going to do at each race? How much money are they going to put into it? You know, if Red Bull sponsors your car and you're going to go do a bunch of laps on a dirt course, where they're going to have a Red Bull giveaway there, they're going to have Red Bull girls running around, and they're going to have stations set up and flags and banners and posters and social media ads and all this stuff. Like, even on a very small scale, like, we're going to be going to the SEMA show very soon, and we're trying to do what we do, put a business together and go out and do some appearances and get paid for some stuff. And one of our people that we work with all the time said, look, we can't afford you this year. It's not that we can't pay your fee. It's we can't pay your fee and all the activation
and
to
the
let people
fee.
Know that you're going to be there. They're
marketing.
Like, if you're going to be in there and you're going to headline a booth, if you're going to do that, then they need to tell the world. They need to get their ads. They need to do all kinds of stuff.
Well, marketing is such a huge thing. I mean, if you look at film, you know, when I worked in the film industry, and I don't know what the ratio is now, but it was usually as much as the cost to make the film is what you spent on marketing the film.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you see a film that spends $10-15 million to be produced, and you think to market it to another $10-20 million, it's like, wow. Yeah. I mean, you have to, especially in today's world where everything is so saturated, and anything that you go to look up, you have to rifle through all this other garbage before you can get to, you know, the content you're looking for most often. Because it's all marketed to you, because it's all paid for. It's a really challenging thing. So I can only imagine, you know, in anyone in the professional world who isn't Napa Auto Parts or O'Reilly's or a brand name that everybody goes to, you know, on the top three on their list, finding your way through all the rest of it has to be near impossible. You know, it takes a lot of money.
Yeah, it does. It's a big deal.
And you just have to be tenacious and believe in yourself and keep going, like in any occupation, just keep plowing through.
The whole time we were talking to Aaron, Courtney did everything she can not to get hiccups. It was like she was on the verge of hiccups. I thought her eyes were going to pop out of her head. And I was handing her water, and I was like, what's going on?
I know. I was like, I got a leaf there. I'm going, I got a leaf. Something's going on over there.
And I'm not even drinking.
He's not even drinking. We're not having anything to drink here. Just drinking water.
That's like my wife. My wife gets hiccups in unusual times, and I feel so bad because they laugh.
How unusual!
Right? Yeah.
Sure.
So the only way I can hear them is to startle her. So I took that dream one day, and I scared her so bad. I felt and all I did was, you know, come around the corner, kind of boo, kind of thing. But I scared her so bad. The look she had on her face was like when you're teasing and playing with a child. And then you go too far, and they give you that look of absolute bewilderment.
And
then you see the frown, Courtney, you know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Then you see the frown and the tremble of the lip.
Yes.
And I just went, oh honey.
I'm
and
sorry.
I haven't done it since. So.
But you cured the hiccups, right?
You cured the hiccups.
Did the trick.
I think I cured a lot of things and then started a whole new category. So, you know, I tread with caution when she has hiccups.
She's like,
I look at her and
she thinks,
you know, looks like, no, we're not going there. I'm like, okay, here's some water.
If you drink water out of the wrong side of the glass, right? The other side. You bend over and you drink it out of the other side. That works.
Yeah, and then you choke instead of hiccup. I don't know.
Oh, that seems like
it works.
That seems like a weird party trick. I think people are just doing that. They get all the girls to do that. I see what you just did.
Show the cleavage.
Yeah.
To bend over. Show off the
assets. Just a move to get girls upside down. Yeah, that's a weird move.
That's a sexier move.
Yeah, right?
Anyway, way off the line here. Sorry.
Yeah.
Courtney, what do you got going on at SEMA? Are you starting to put your schedule together, or do you have...
Schedule's crazier than ever. So I'm doing nonstop appearances and in satellite media tours, which means getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning, starting work at 3.
Ooh.
And then I worked doing that till 9 a.m. I get a quick break and then I plow into the day. I'm going to be promoting the new project I'm doing with Troy Ladd.
Let's not kid ourselves. Getting up at 2 just means stay up the whole time, right?
Because
that's pretty much what we did last time.
But then how brutal is it the next day?
Yeah, I know. So but you only have to do it for a few days in a row, and then you get that dude who shows up in your room with the IV, and he's like, And he's like, here's a bunch of vitamins.
That's not a bad idea.
I think we're going to be doing that this year.
I think I'm going to be ordering that ahead of time.
I think we're going to be doing that this year.
I'm excited, though. I have a good lineup of brands I'm going to be working with. I'll have the schedule on my website and social media pages. And I'm stoked. I can't believe Seam is already here again.
It's coming up quickly,
Holy
right?
Holy cow.
So,
yeah, boy, it's coming up quick.
Guys, follow Courtney Hansen on her social media. What are your...
Website is CourtneyHansen.com, and it's H-A-N-S-E-N. Twitter is Courtney Hansen. Instagram is Courtney_Hansen. And Snapchat is Courtney1Hansen.
Instagram, Twitter.
Facebook. Oh, and Facebook is Official Courtney Hansen.
Official Courtney Hansen.
Official Courtney Hansen.
Yeah.
And
that's good. So tell us about a project. So I know you've been working on a TV project. Yes, you've been working on a TV project for a while now. And again, it's weird because the TV world is like, it's a little like the sponsorships we were talking about with racing.
Yeah.
And you could create a show or attempt to create a show, and you could try to shop it to some networks, which is a big pain in the ass. And if you can actually get the meeting, will they buy their show? And most of the time you're selling a show with a topic that the people you're meeting with don't know anything about.
Exactly. That's right? The tricky part. Yeah. These executives, as awesome as they are at what they do, they're not car guys. And I'm pitching car shows. And so they don't understand. They don't understand cars. They don't understand what the fans want. They're not at these, you know, these classic car shows to see the attention that the automotive celebrities are getting, and they just don't know the genre, and so it's tough. But
by the way, they should be paying attention to you. People like you, people like Rutledge Wood, because Rutledge came in the CarCast, which is going to air next week, and he told a great story about pitching a show, and one of the executives across from him was like, I don't know if that's what it is. And Rutledge was like, yeah, but I know and you don't know.
Right.
And that's, by the way, that seems a little out of character for him. But
it's true.
He looked at the guy and he's like, okay, he goes, I'm looking at you right now and I can just tell the way you look, the way you dress and your age. And I'm looking at your peers in this room. And he's like, I can tell that you drive an electric car. And then the other guys in the room laughed, right? The other guy, his associates laughed, and he goes, okay. He goes, but the Tesla is too pretentious. So you didn't want that, and the Leaf is too much of a piece of shit. So Rutledge leaned back in his chair and he goes, you drive a Chevy Volt, and the guy's like, yes, and all those guys like,
I love it.
By the way, that's how you pitch a show is when you call it out on that guy.
Yes.
So these executives are really kind of a pain in the ass.
And that's why Rutledge is on the Food Network.
That's why.
Which was a smart move, by the way, to segue into something also, more mainstream. Yes.
He's crushing it. He can do whatever he wants.
Guy Fieri, right? Through our buddy Guy Fieri.
That's
from
right.
The car world into food. So right on Rutledge.
Yeah, right on. I love Rut too.
We went, quick Guy Fieri story. So we were in Vegas. I was with Aaron and a couple of other people, and we try to go to Guy's restaurant. We're like, I haven't been, let's go. He's like, it's huge food, it's huge, it's so good, but it's huge. And I don't really like to make a thing, you know, about it, and Aaron doesn't like to make a thing about it. So we get there, and I think like ahead of time or something, you had texted Guy's manager or assistant or something like that, and we get there, and there's a big line. There's a big line, and we're not even in the restaurant. We're like outside the restaurant because there's a line, and people are all trying to get in there. It was a busy weekend, and then the adorable young hostess is just like puts down a phone and she's looking. She's like, "Is there an Aaron here? Aaron Hagar?" We're way in the back. We're like, "Yes." She's like, "Come up here, please." So I guess somebody
people.
There's more to that story if you remember. All modesty aside. We go up, and she's like, we don't take reservations. I said, we have a reservation? She goes, we don't take reservations. And I go, okay, we had a special call-in, we have a party of whatever we were, six or eight people.
Yeah. We're like, look, no big deal, you're busy, but I'm just saying.
I'll put your name on the list. I said, okay, Aaron. I said, Aaron, you know, and she goes, okay. And then I smiled at her like, still nothing? Okay. So then we went back in the line. I don't make a scene. I never make a scene. So like we go to the back of the line, and then it was like within a minute or two, she's like, Aaron.
Nice.
But she's not calling any other names. The place is full. And then and then we had to like walk of shame ourselves up to the front of the line.
Right. You're feeling so guilty for all the people that you're passing
by.
They're
like, who are you? We're like, nobody. Stop looking at me. Yeah. Stop looking at me. We're nobody.
I love it. That's great.
And then we got a burger that was like 18 inches tall. It was like, it was so huge. You couldn't.
Guy style.
You couldn't, yeah, it was Guy Fieri style for sure. But
the food is great there. It's tough because we always eat at Cabo, and I feel like I'm so bad if I don't eat at Cabo.
Yes, support the family
restaurant.
Business, but
yeah, and then like I get a call from a guy or I see a guy somewhere, and he's like, "You didn't eat at my restaurant again, did you?" I said, "No, I have to." So we always try to to make the rounds to Emerald and to the guy and wait for them.
You got a full agenda,
we got to plan it. So.
Well, let's hit them all this SEMA.
Right?
Guy and I hung out in at the NASCAR Awards a couple years in a row. He's a big NASCAR fan.
Yeah,
and but I haven't been to the restaurant yet, so maybe this October.
It's good. You
got to
breathe ahead of time. You got to you got to wear stretchy pants.
Don't eat all day.
No, you can't eat all day. It's a good like maybe at
so
SEMA we should get over there one night and. Look, even if we just go in for some appetizers and some cocktails, that's only 14,000 calories.
And tequila at Cabo.
Get some tequila at Cabo as well.
Right there.
So tell us a little bit about the show. So my point of the story was, is you go in, you pitch a show, and hopefully somebody buys it. And the other side is if you can try to do what's called a time buy, which is you go in and you bring in the advertisers, you sell the whole thing. It's like building your own race team, and then you just try to sell that whole block.
Yeah.
You buy a block on a network and then you share some revenue, whatever. So it's a wacky way of doing things, but there are some ways of doing things. And without really knowing what direction to go in yet, the point is you've been working on a show that I like. It's a good idea for a show. So I think that your fans are going to love this show.
I think so too. I know they will. I believe they will.
100%. Whether we can go out and I can help you and you can sell some advertising or you can sell the show. But either way, this show should be on the air. Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's called Ride Rescue, and I really can't give all of it. The truth is, depending on which network it goes to, we're going to tailor the concept a little bit. But I can tell you that we have Troy Ladd of Hollywood Hot Rods, who's arguably the number one guy of the moment. He won every single award of the season, including America's Most Beautiful Roadster, which is the most coveted, besides the Riddler. The Amber and the Riddler are the two most coveted, and you can only go for one that particular year. And he won World's Most Beautiful Custom, the Sam Barris Award. Like he won everything. He just won the award at Hot August Nights of the whole show.
Everywhere he's gone, he's won the awards. He just expanded and got a bigger building just for his trophies.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, because he used to be like 5 minutes from here. He was right up the street.
And now he's just a mile away. He's at a bigger spot. He said the ceilings are lower, which he doesn't love, but it's a bigger space, and he just outgrew the other one. But Troy is amazing. He's so talented.
He's a really sweet guy.
Charming and humble and kind. Like, I think he's one of the coolest people ever. So I'm honored that he's on board. He had turned down a lot of shows, and when I called him and found out he was available, somebody had actually, a production company, pitched me. They were doing a show with Troy, and they wanted me to be his sidekick on the show. And I actually, at the time, I was like, I can't do this because I'm working on my own project, and Troy wasn't attached yet. And then I called him one day randomly about something else, and I said, how's that other project going? And he goes, oh, no, I'm not doing that. I left that project.
Yeah.
And I said, well, are you available? So he came on board for this. I'm totally stoked, and now we're going full bore ahead with it. And whether we do the straight sale, which we're really really close to doing with one network, or we do the time buy, this show is happening, and it's going to be freaking awesome.
I don't know how to. First of all, let's face it, you're nobody's Robin. You're Batman all the way, right? So you're nobody's sidekick.
And, Wonder Woman.
I don't know. Like, how do we create? How do we create buzz for this? Like, how do we get a network to buy this show? Like, I wish we could rally somebody and do it, but I'm not quite sure. So I would say do this. Follow Courtney on her social media, and she will keep you informed as this thing comes along. And if we need to write a petition and have people, everybody call a network, you can do that. But just follow her on her social media, right?
I would love it. I would love to be connected with you guys. I do all my own social media, 100% of it, and I dedicate at least an hour or two a night to responding to everybody who reaches out. And I'm so grateful because it's all about the fans. If we didn't have the fans, we don't have our shows, and I could not be more grateful. And the reason I do all these classic car shows is to be able to mingle and meet and greet with the fans and and, you know, hear what they're working on and what they're driving. And it's all about you guys out there. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And I would love to connect in social media.
Yeah, well, thank you. All right, so we've got a few minutes left, but let's give a quick update on any car projects that we've got going on. I know people have been hitting me up on social media about the Mustang, so I'll talk about that. But what are you doing, Courtney? You got car projects?
Well,
mostly baby and house projects and TV show projects.
One thing at a time. But I do have a 70 Mach 1 that I got from DJ Funk Master Flex that I can't wait to get started working on, because I'm gonna go crazy with that one. It's in New York.
Okay.
And I'm gonna go crazy with that one. But I haven't decided who's gonna kind of take over that project. I was talking to Bobby Alloway, I was talking to the Ring Brothers.
You're gonna go big.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Bodie,
maybe. Bodie would be great.
Yeah, Bodie Stroud's a great guy as well.
Yeah, and Troy. Yeah. I mean, I think Troy's going to be a little busy, though.
Yeah, Troy's going to be busy.
Troy's got a side business building million-dollar cars and then the new show. So I think he's going to be a bit slammed.
Okay, but, there's a lot of good guys out there, though.
There's a lot of good options. But I don't think I can focus on that until after SEMA. And I have a few upcoming shows. I'm doing Cruising the Coast and the Mississippi Gulf Coast, which is one of my favorite shows of the year. That's the first week of October. I'm doing the McCacken Car Show in Chicago.
These are appearances. You're going to go there.
Yes, appearances.
Go to these shows.
McCacken, Muscle Car and Corvette Nationals in Chicago. Of course, SEMA. And then I'll be back in Vegas for another show in November. And then I go to Toronto in March. And then, there's a lot of them coming up. I can't even keep up.
That's what social media is for. And an assistant.
Yes, exactly.
and an iPhone calendar. Yeah.
That's what friends with photographic memories are for.
Right?
Exactly.
Aaron, you got any car projects? What's going on? What's going on with your Mini?
You know, I'm still fiddling with that little Willie. You know, as I said, I've been house sitting lately for Dad while he's on tour. I have a 16-year-old little sister, and right now she can't be left unattended. So
really,
16? Being the most trustworthy member of the family, perhaps I'm my wife and I are here often. So that's my current project. I'm still messing with that Willie's. I got a whole new front end put on, all the new tie rods, trying to clean up the steering as best I can. Got the generator rebuilt. I'm tinkering with the carb because it just doesn't want to reach RPM. But other than that, it's pretty together and sound. I got a couple little electrical things I got to fiddle with. But I got to say, you know, I got rid of like four or five vehicles and projects in the past year and really tried to focus on loving the ones I had, because my friend Big Nick always teases me. He likes to give everybody a percentage in life. And, you know, if you fall below his 80 percentile on finished projects, you know, it really gets annoying because he just attacks you all the time. So I would like to say, and he'll disagree, that I'm up now into the 95 maybe percentile on all my collection. So I'm trying to get everything up to the par of safe to drive, and I don't have to get there and go, the battery's dead. Something, you know, no excuses. So
yeah.
I'm kind of tinkering with everything. Nothing new on the horizon right now. I had a project that I was trying to do for my dad for October, but I just couldn't pull it together. It was a little out of my budget. I found his original Trans Am, and I was trying to get it back to give to him for his birthday this year, but I couldn't quite get the funding together on the project, so I had to let it go. But so I have nothing on the horizon. I'm clean, man.
Okay.
I'm clean.
You know, the question I get asked the most is, when are you going to finish your Mustang? When are you going to finish your Mustang? And the answer to that is, I have no clue. I have no clue when I'm going to finish it. Because here's the thing. It's like, I come out here on the weekends. I come out, and it's over in Adam's garage, in Corolla's garage here. And I come out here on the weekends, and I try to work on it. But then, like, we went to Monterey, and we've got another thing that comes up, and another thing comes up. And then you realize that's three weekends in a row, and you haven't touched the car in a few weeks. But I was back in there last weekend. I was working on the fuel system. I took all the hard lines off, put all new braided lines in there, all new AN fittings. Got a whole fuel system from Aeromotive, put a new tank in with one of their stealth tanks with the A1000 pump built into it. And I was just all weekend, I was just cutting fuel lines, making AN fittings and getting it all done. And then my sort of OCD kind of level was like, okay, so there's these cushion clamps that you can use that you drill in. You could just take a self tap or a tech screw and drill into, you know, a piece of sheet metal or something underneath the car. But for me, it's like, it's gotta be stainless, right? So, and you can't get that at Home Depot.
So I got to get
stainless tech screws.
I got to
get stainless cushion clamps and get all those done that way. So I got all that stuff ordered. And then this is where you get jammed up, is I was setting up the braided line, and I was going into the engine compartment to fuel pressure regulator, but I didn't like the angle of the line. So I had to go from a straight fit to a 90 degree, and I didn't have that 90 degree AN fitting. So now I got to go to Amazon, and I got to order it, and I got to wait 3 days for one fitting to finish it up, and that puts you behind like 3 days.
No Prime? No Amazon Prime?
What? I have Amazon Prime, but it still took 3 days. I needed to get it done, and so now I have the pieces. But follow me on my social media, at Moderator. It's on Facebook, Twitter, and... Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It's all at Moderator. I've been putting some pictures up there. You'll see stuff of the fuel system that I posted, and I'm going to be on it again this weekend. So I've got to do the fuel system. I'm swapping out a K-member, which I started, and then the K-member I needed to modify, so I modified it, sent it out, got it repowder coated, and then we sent it out again. So that's the deal there. Follow my social media, and you'll find out where I am on that car.
And Matt does all his own social media, too. And in case you guys didn't know, he has serious OCD. He's like a total perfectionist, total OCD. He's like the most...
I think he has OCD in capitals.
Yeah,
right.
Totally neurotic.
Yeah.
Capitals and bold text.
In the best way.
All right, guys. We're gonna wrap it up. Thanks so much for listening. We always appreciate all of your support.
Thank you, guys.
And if you guys get a chance, tell a friend about Shift and Steer. We definitely love that. And follow us on all of our social media, Shift Steer Media. Brad, we miss you. Hopefully next week you will be back.
And Pete, we miss you up there in heaven. We miss you. It's so weird to be on the show without him.
On that note, not to reveal what Brad's dealing with, but there is a lot of fallout outside of Florida and Texas, just beyond the myopic point of view from there. Stuff is spilling out all over the place, and a lot of businesses nationwide are being affected by it. And I'm curious to see how the flood cars are going to do. If we're going to see those in the marketplaces, on the used car market.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff to follow up on in the show.
So a lot of people have taken a hit. A lot of businesses, a lot of small businesses, a lot of shops, a lot of mechanic shops. A lot of these things are going out of business because they can't.
Yeah.
They don't have enough cash on hand to.
They can't recover.
To do that. But anyway, guys, for Aaron Hagar and Courtney Hansen, and I'm Matt, the Moderator, DeAndrea, and Kaylin in there. We'll say thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.